You're tuning in to the Our Church Podcast. We don't have to be bound by the spiritual attacks that come against us in our lives. This week, Pastor Victor teaches 5 practical steps to walking in freedom.
Make yourself comfortable. Kick your shoes off if you want to. I give you that freedom. You know, when Moses approached the burning bush, what did God tell him to do? Take off his shoes. I would hope that in this place we're in the presence of God. So you're welcome to take your shoes off. Last week, Pastor Jordan spoke about big problems or great God. All right? And it was all about the issue of changing a mindset that you're no longer looking at a big problem, but rather, let's look at our great God. Okay, we know that as repentance, changing your mindset. All right, so in that process, it's kind of neat how God kind of put the two of us back to back, so to speak, because I feel like my message tonight of what God gave me fits right in where he left off. So what I'd like to speak on is how to walk in freedom. All right, freedom looks like not looking at a big problem. That's what the enemy would love to get us to focus on. And one thing that I always speak to people about in ministry is you want to look at your problem only long enough that you can then turn to Father God and tell him about it and keep focusing on him. All right, so I want to give you 5 items of how to walk in freedom. And if you need freedom later, I'll certainly address that, okay? So, number one is to know God's voice. So, how do we know God's voice? If you're a new believer, the first suggestion I give you is read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, so that you can see Jesus' actual words. If you know what Jesus speaks, you learn his intent. You learn who he is. So if any of you have, you know, your walk's kind of like faltering or whatever, just go to the Gospels. Get a red letter edition Bible and just read the red letters. That's all you need. And let the Holy Spirit then bring to you the message of what God's speaking in those. Okay. Number two is know your identity in Jesus. The Word of God is laced with many statements about us. We're the beloved. We're joint heirs in the kingdom. If there's anything in the Word that in you opposes what the Word says about you, you need to address that with someone. Okay, so if you're always under condemnation and you're in Christ Jesus, I would say the enemy's, you know, beating you up over it, and he does not belong there. Okay, all right. Number three, your dwelling place should be sanctuary. All right, so it should be a holy place for you. It should be a place where the shalom peace of Jesus resides so that at the end of the day, where you're out in the world and it's hell, then you can come into your home and be at peace. Now, there are things that oppose that in a home. The things that we watch, that TV can literally be a spiritual portal that allows fear and anything else of the enemy in. Just the ads alone are pretty bad, not even to go to the programs, okay? So, you know that. You know, I was working in a rabbit ears, Christian home, and when I came in to do the work, on their hearth was a Buddha. It's like, but this doesn't make sense. It's contradiction here, where Buddha represents a foreign religion, a false god. Christians should not have that in their homes, because it's an introduction, it's a portal then for the enemy into your home. So the best thing to do is literally go through under the suggestion of the Holy Spirit and just get rid of anything that the Holy Spirit shows you it shouldn't be here. That could be movies that you've bought. It's like, throw away $20, sure, but think of eternity in place of it. Okay, is it worth the risk? And especially anything that has been used in worship of foreign gods, anything oriental. And this can go as far as yoga, karate, anything like that, because it's all based out of Eastern religions. So, you know, what you bring into your home contaminates it that way. All right. Number four, and this is where we're going to spend a lot of time tonight, is to equip yourself with the armor of God. All right, we're going to look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may stand, be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. All right, so let's look at these. First, with the belt of truth. In John 14, 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God is true. You know, we think of God, he can do anything, and actually he can't. There are some things that God cannot do. He cannot lie. All right? Because he is truth. He cannot hate. He is love. All right? So, you know, we get a mindset, change your mindset. Okay? If God is those things, and we're created in his image, take that on. Okay? You know, the belt of truth points to your integrity. And integrity is who you are when no one's watching. It's real easy for me to stand up here and look holy. But do you know what I'm like when I'm home by myself? I hope you do, because it should be the same as what you see right here. All right, integrity. John 8:44 says, and he's addressing the religious leaders at the time, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. All right? So, what kingdom do you want to serve? Okay? And keep in mind, exaggeration is a lie. It's deceit in a very small package. And where that starts, when we open a doorway, ever so small, then the enemy gets his foot in, and it's not long before he's all the way in the house. Okay? So, you know, to know that, you know, one of my prayers is, create in me a clean heart where there is no deceit, even for myself. And the best way to avoid deception is to trust someone else more than yourself. Of course, that would be a trustworthy person that you trust. We know them by the fruits, okay? All right. So, belt of truth. Next, the breastplate of righteousness. Romans 3:21-22 says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So, who is our righteousness? Jesus, exactly. I cannot attain righteousness on my own. It's because of the nature, the sin nature of man, our fallen state. If I try, strive, work hard at being righteous, it's self-righteousness. The only righteousness I can take on that God would accept is going to be Jesus Christ. So I want, when I go home, I want to see Jesus. If Jesus is our righteousness, apart from him, we're self-righteous. We cannot achieve righteousness on our own apart from Jesus. Our response to his righteousness should be holiness. Okay? So what he did in response, I'm going to strive for holiness, and that is to walk in his way. Okay? For me to pray, God, make me holy, I'm asking God to do something he really has left me to work at. Next is the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. And I love this part because there's a verse in there. I thought of this today. It's like, how beautiful are the feet that bring the good news. You know? It's like Mark 1:14-15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, gospel, in the Greek, it's euangelion, which means a good message. We interpret that and work at it as good news. Every believer in Jesus Christ should be able to bring the gospel message to anyone else. That's something that, like a homework assignment, in a very short wording, is the gospel message. And you need to practice that. There's so much theology that is thrown at people, like all the laws, all this, like, it can be boiled down in a very simple statement. And that is, Jesus has come to restore relationship with God. Is that simple? It's, you know, it reflects the way Jesus walked it out. He didn't spend the time with the religious leaders. They were caught in something that it's like he didn't bother with. But rather to those that were oppressed and poor, it's simple. There's a way back. It's that easy. He becomes the bridge, so to speak. And in that, knowing that, and I missed this in the breastplate, of what God desires to see when we go home, another aspect of the breastplate because of woundedness of the spirit of a person. Imagine if Jesus is our righteousness and Paul relates him as a breastplate. Imagine for those of you that have been rejected, that have been abandoned. Do you know what that pain feels like? All right? And it hits your spirit. Because as spirit beings, that's where we get wounded. So imagine if Jesus is our breastplate, and the word says, surely, this is Isaiah 53, surely he bore our pain and disease. You no longer have to receive the pain of rejection or abandonment if Jesus is your forefront. If he bore it on the cross for you, just give it to him. I know what rejection feels like. I've tried to witness and have been like cut down at the knees. And it's like, ooh, that's rejection. You know? It's like, Jesus, you got this, right? Cool. I'm done with it. It's all in their head now. Okay? So remember that. And it's that simple. When the pain that you might carry is being hit and you haven't been healed of it yet, Jesus, you got this, right? You carry this for me. Take it to your cross for me. All right? All right. Well, moving back along here. All right. Shield of faith. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God. And then Romans 12:3 says, each have been given a measure of faith. I threw those at you real quick, okay? But to know that we've all been given a measure of faith, that's not to say that we're all been given the same measure. There are some people that move in faith greater than others. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can't let fear suppress the measure of faith that you've been given. Because where fear is, faith cannot flourish. And we know that the only thing that can cast out fear is Jesus. It should be a no-brainer now that every piece of armor of God points us in some aspect of our life to Jesus. When we build on our own strength, here's examples of living out fear. That we build on our own strengths. We try to set up an empire for ourselves for security. Or literally failing to step out in ministry when you know you're called to it. So, you know, if that hits something in you, we would definitely want to address the fear that's holding that faith back at some point. All right. Helmet of salvation, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. All right, so if we know Jesus' words and we know that what he was doing was to point us back to God, because he said, you know, heaven's at hand. Our thoughts must line up with the word of God or else they're vanity. And you can, an easy way to describe vanity is it's a dead end road. It leads nowhere. Our thoughts should be from the perspective of eternity. So I want my perception to be the way God sees things. And who better for this world than Jesus? I think that's why God stepped into it, so that he could literally relate to the actual experience, as opposed to someone like the devil getting back before judgment and saying, how would you know? You were never there. He was. He even died in it. So, taking on Jesus' perspective of the world. All right. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So what's the Word of God? Jesus. The Holy Spirit's going to lead us into Jesus. All right. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and the discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. A two-edged sword has the capacity to cut both directions. I can use it towards your situation, and at the same time, it can cut quick into me. That's the neat thing about it. That even as I prepare something like this, and I keep looking at the words, like, ooh, I can apply that to me, and I need to. Okay. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How better to not stumble. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. This is why we should get to know the Word of God. Know the Word, know Jesus. As you can see, again, every aspect of the armor of God points to who? Excellent. This is going to be a short one tonight, folks. You're getting it. All right. And then finally, number five on the list. Learn to speak out against the darkness. Let the enemy know you don't agree with him. All right. What does that look like in practicality? Something, you're watching a TV show, and all of a sudden, here's something that is not godly. Turn it off and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. It's like, we can't have this. Again, there are times when we've been under pastors that have spoken fear on the congregation. And my wife and I would turn to each other and say, no, I don't receive that in Jesus' name. It's that easy. Now, you know, it comes along to the place of if it's an authority that you're under, whether it's work, whether it's a pastor, and they make a comment or a statement that's against God's word, that doesn't line up, you have two options. One is to go to the person and make an appeal. It's like, the word I see is this, and what I heard you say doesn't line up with that. Because it could be that your perspective was wrong, and you just heard it wrong. So by having a one-on-one is a good way to resolve that. And if it doesn't resolve, your option is to get out from under that authority. As quick as possible. Because what comes from the authority has a legal right spiritually to you that's under the authority. You may not recognize it at first, but it will creep in when it's something that's accepted. When wasn't sure if that was a squirrel chewing something. About to have visitors. Okay, so, you know, there's five things to keep in mind to line your walk with to, you know, come into your... You can come into freedom that way. I've always said, you know, there's two ways that you can get rid of an unclean spirit. One is to have it literally cast out in the moment, or the other way is to starve it to death. Starving something takes a long time. It'd be a lot easier just to address it and be done with it, okay? So here's, you know, we got the time tonight, and I feel like God wants to heal. And that's not so much necessarily of the physical realm, but I really believe that God would like to heal a heart that has grown cold and distant. Sometimes we call it a hardened heart. That, you know, in Revelations, it mentions about coming back to your first love. You know, every love that we know in this temporal realm is really not love. But until Jesus comes in and shows us what true love is, true sacrifice, that's his love.
To stay connected with our church, you can like us on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter using the handle at TryOurChurch. Or you can send us an email to info@tryourchurch.com. If you'd like to financially partner with our church in carrying out the Great Commission, you can do so through text to give. Just send a text message to 443-201-7266 and include your dollar amount. Thanks for tuning in.